Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 261 on January 28th, 2018.
Wow. I was sitting here going, what day is it?
I just looked at my phone before we went on air to make sure I had the right date.
It's almost February.
It is. It rolls around fast, doesn't it?
We've got a magazine to get out this month. And mm-hmm. it's next month. Yeah, it's pushing hard on us. And it's pushing back, and then we push forward, and then it pushes back, and then we push forward, and it's a ping pong.
Well, it's like my brother always reminds us when we say the deadline's coming up, and he says,
Why do you think they call them deadlines?
Exactly. When I'm complaining about how tired I am, that's why they call them deadlines. Oh, yeah. And that's true. But we survive.
Yeah, and it's one of those things like I can go off in the other room and I can write, and then I come back and I see if it fits, and then I go back and I write, and or I go and trim, and it's a labor of repetitive motions a lot of times, but it's also a labor of how am I going to adjust this to fit there or get the tonal colors or the gray quality right so that it doesn't print black, because you know that's what happens with
I think what you're
press.
Saying there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. The average person who doesn't know what goes in any business, it's like that. You know, you see the end product and you think, oh, that's nice, but you don't know what happened to make the end product manifest itself.
Yeah, and that's
lots always, of hard work.
it's always a problem, and we always battle a problem called dot gain, and that's just for you and me and people that understand the printing industry.
Well, and like we talk about, too, when our writers, which, by the way, we have one of our writers here tonight, Tim Lindley's with us, so hi, Tim.
Hi there.
But when people send us their articles, they don't just magically jump from the email onto the magazine. There's a lot of tweaking that goes on there, editing and tweaking and references, and somehow we get it all in. So anyway,
There's a system and steps involved. For example, our columns are justified, and nothing comes in a justified state. And if it comes in as a text file, it comes in with spaces between paragraphs. And all of those things take a finite amount of time to correct.
Mm-hmm. And so that's our lot in life that we've chosen. So anyway, let's move right on to our conversation with Tim. So we said hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
And it's good to have you back on the show. You've been with us multiple times.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Well, you're welcome. I know when you sat down here, I said, anything new? And you said, well, I'm excited about the bees and the mites.
Yep. So. not so much about the mites, but
okay, well.
our upcoming spring season bees.
So we understand from a couple months ago, you introduced us the concept of a strain of bees that eat their own predators.
Right.
They eat the legs off.
Right. Purdue University has been studying these bees for about 8 years. They took some hives out of 100 hives and looked at the mites on the bottom board to see if they've been chewed. The legs have been chewed off and stuff, and a couple of hives stood out at them. And so they, over a period of time, with those certain hives that bit the legs off, they've got to bred a different breed of bee called a mite biter. And they've got it almost now to 80 to 100% of the bees in that colony and learn to groom themselves of the mites. And then once they get the mites off themselves, then they take them and chew them up and chew the legs off. And, of course, the mites, if you can imagine, they don't fare too well when they get their legs chewed off. So
And that's the part you're excited about, the mites, is that they're going to be legless and therefore not productive and not harmful.
Mm-hmm. So these are varroa mites that we're talking
about.
Correct, yes. And what is it about the varroa mite that is a problem for bees?
Well, the varroa mite sucks the hemolymph out of the bee and attaches itself to the adult bee, much like a tick would attach itself to a dog.
Oh, so it kills the bees, or makes them sick at least.
Yeah, shortens their life. Okay, and then once they're fed after from that fluid from the bee, then they crawl off and they crawl into the cell where the larva is about ready to be pupated, and crawl underneath the larva and get in there with that larva and reproduce in there. While feeding off their offspring, feed off the larva, which weakens the larva too. And about one or two generations of mites can reproduce in that cell, and they come out and they start the process all over again.
Oh, wow. So it can kill a hive? Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the questions that we had, too, earlier before you even came through the door was, what on earth do bees do in the wintertime?
Well, that's especially true this time of winter. They cluster together in a ball, and the bees on the outside of that ball are like the insulators, and they insulate keep the heat inside.
Okay.
The ones on the inside stick their heads in the cells, and they're all eating honey that I left them. I don't take all the honey. I have to leave 40 or 50 pounds of honey for them to survive on during the winter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the ones on the inside are vibrating their wing muscles to create heat, and they keep that inside of that cluster about 90 degrees.
Wow.
And year round.
And then I'm guessing here, because they have hierarchy, they all get to spend an equal amount of time inside the cluster.
Oh, yeah.
Because the ones on the outside, they're just going to get cold and PO'd.
Right. Yeah, well, they get cold and they can't move. Yeah. So the ones on the inside will pull their cold sisters into the inside, warm them up, and then take their place.
Oh, wow.
So kind of a, you know, I wish humans would work like that, but that's how they work.
A little more thoughtful. We could all be a little more thoughtful of each other, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, last month I put a story in the magazine about heating your home with a compost pile. Mm. And the only three ingredients in this compost pile are wood chips, a little sawdust, and some manure.
Oh.
Those are the only three things that you put in the compost pile. Oh. And you can get temperatures inside this compost pile of around 150, 160 degrees easily for 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So are you saying the bees need a compost pile done?
No, they're acting like a compost pile. But it's motion that's happening, and I understand that. Yeah. But if we could get enough bees in one spot, could we tap that energy without getting killed by the bees? I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, there's another source of energy.
That'd have to be one big hive, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they need the heat for themselves. They don't have any to spare until you would get
Right. They don't.
Well, we could give them little air conditioners is what I'm boiling down to here, is because too many bees could cause the temperature to rise too high. So you insert small coils and a whole bunch of bees collect some of that heat and become symbiotic with the bees. Now, and there's an idea for you.
Yeah,
that's the way Don's mind works, folks. Well, Tim, for somebody who may be tuned in for the first time to our podcast and are unaware of how you got involved in beekeeping, you want to give us a little history for the listeners?
Sure. I just actually wrote a long biography last Friday, and it was a combination of things, but I was in high school back in about 1975, probably a sophomore or freshman or something, in a town called Hinsdale. Went to Hinsdale Central High School. And my parents were very successful in their engineering business. And so they had a little money they made. They didn't want to pay taxes on it. So my
like every normal American.
Right. So my dad's first cousin, lives here in Greenville. He knew where the farm was for sale, and convinced my dad to go ahead and buy it, you know, buy the farm. And then me and my brother spent summers during high school down here to working the farm and everything like that. Well, I got to like it a lot better down here than I did in suburban Chicago. So eventually I moved down here as soon as I graduated.
So did you and your brother work the farm in the summer and your folks stayed up in Hinsdale?
Yeah, they never moved down here.
Interesting.
They had their business up there in Hinsdale and they stayed up there and never moved to Greenville or anything. So, but in the meantime, at our church, there was a program called Share the Wealth. And it was just not only wealth of money, but wealth of information. And there was a couple that had a beehive in their backyard. And I just went over there one night, I think it was, and they showed me the bees and told me all about it and how sweet the honey was and stuff. And I got to thinking, well, that might be something I could do, you know. I kind of looked for something that nobody else did at the time, and be something neat to do. So I really don't think I worked the bees while I was up there in Hinsdale or anything with them or anything like that. But my dad knew he was on the fire department and knew a friend of his was becoming more and more allergic to his bees. He had six hives and some extractor and some equipment and stuff like that. So when it came time to graduate high school, my dad bought the bees from this gentleman and moved them to Greenville, and that was my graduation from high school present.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah.
No so, kidding.
I have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Not only for the farm, but for the bees, too.
And exactly.
The love of beekeeping has been with me my whole life, and it's just part of me now.
Love that idea of share the wealth, meaning more than just money, but like you said, share the knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done for so long with, even you've started the beekeepers group here in town in Bond County. Well, is it, the name is Bond County Beekeepers?
Well, it's Tri-County.
Tri-County. Three. Cover, I should have known that, yes.
Yeah, we cover Bond, Fayette, and Montgomery County. And we meet the second Friday of the month at our church, at our Redeemer Lutheran Church, off of either lane on 140 at 7 o'clock. So,
so anybody can come to that?
Oh, yeah. Anybody
that they're
come
interested.
To that? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it is interesting. And can you keep bees here in town, or is it only something? How far does a bee range to go out and get its supply of sweet stuff?
About 2.5 to 3 miles.
Oh, wow.
So they've got a good, couple, 8,000 or 9,000 acres probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, if you had a bee hive in town, they could encompass the whole town easily.
Yeah.
And with our more agricultural farming ground around, Greenville, it's actually not a bad thing to have it near a urban area like Greenville, you know.
Yeah, and that's going to also help somebody who's got, say, allergies, for example, because if they eat that honey from their local beehive, they're going to get the beneficial
antibodies
or whatever it is that you get from eating
pollen,
local honey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when I say local honey, now all of a sudden I'm thinking about a musical performer, Stacy.
Yes. Her band is called Local Honey.
Yeah, oh, well, okay. That's too bad. So I'm sorry.
Well, that means good things all the way around, then.
Does,
good
right,
music
right.
and good,
good
food.
Singer, good food.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. It's so all sweet.
It is all sweet.
That's right.
And she's a little sweetheart, too.
She is. Uh-huh.
So there's a plug for Local Honey. Sorry. You look that up on the interwebs. Jan and I were also talking about before you got here. How do you get the bees trained?
And the reason we laughed about this because you're having beekeeping classes, and I said to Don, I wonder what Tim teaches those bees.
Right, right.
But we really know it's for we humans to come and
right.
learn from you.
Okay. So that's enough laughter.
Well, yeah, my wife, I have a PowerPoint that I go through the biology of the bees as part of that class, and our very first slide shows bees in a chair with an adult bee teaching the other bees, you know.
So there are those lessons going on.
Oh, yeah.
Mother Nature and instinct plays a part in that too, suspect.
Yep.
So if someone would come to one of your classes, and you've got two more coming up, don't you? One in February and one in March.
Yeah, one February 17th and March 17th. They're on Saturdays and from 8:30 to 3:30 with an hour break for lunch. They are $50. If you want to sign up for one, give me a call. I've got an ad in your magazine.
You do, in the January issue, and it'll be in the February issue and one of the March issue.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It'll tell you all about it.
So I imagine.
It's 6 hours of instruction. I use hands-on things. I have a hive there. I go through the hive, you know, showing the different parts. I take it through the year. I take it, people need to understand the biology of the bees so they know what to they're looking at when they look at go through a hive and everything, and it's kind of stressful for me because all my information that I've been gathering up around my head for these 40 years, so it comes out and
they get a good dose of information.
They sure do. I try to tell a story from beginning to end, and I'll break from time to time, and they'll ask questions as we go along and everything like that. So the class is over when there's nobody asks any more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we know it's over.
Well, and you actually have a live hive that you bring in?
No.
It's not a live hive.
Not in the wintertime.
Okay. But, well, that was...
Can't do that. So.
Yeah, well, that was going to be the next question. How do you get those bees to get back in the hive and they're all loose in the church?
Yeah, well, you know, that's funny, too, because I always wondered, how am I going to demonstrate how it is with bees crawling all over the frames, you know? And then... We had a float for the Bond County Bicentennial.
Yeah.
Was it last year or year before, something like that?
It was the 4th of July weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So anyway, we tied black and yellow pipe cleaners to the top of the frames, and they stick up, and then just kind of get the impression of the bees, you know.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, that was a nice float. I think you've got pictures of that up on your Facebook page too, don't you?
Yeah,
that was neat.
Yeah, that's cool. And I just hadn't thought about it being wintertime. You don't want to disturb your brood, as it were.
That ball of bees making heat.
That's their survival that you're messing with. Well, hey, we're going to pause for these messages, and we'll be right back.
The Factory Theater at Greenville University will be presenting the musical Company by George Firth and Stephen Sondheim this February, the 8th through the 10th, and the 15th through the 17th. All shows begin at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at Joe's Java, Watson's Drugstore, and Adam Bros in Greenville, Illinois. For students, $5, and for adults, $10. For more information, call Jess at 217-273-5896.
Hi, I'm Roxanne Baer, owner of Terra Mater Massage and Botanicals, and I'd like to invite you to stop by my vendor booth at the Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair on Saturday, April 14th at the American Farm Heritage Museum. That's Saturday, April 14th. And if you're really lucky, you'll get to sit in my massage chair and get a nice back and neck rub.
And we're back. Tim, a question came up during the break about, you know, there's a whole lot of information out there that you're trying to give to and impart to other people. But tell me about your own studies. I mean, you've been at this 40 years. There's obviously continuing education involved. How do you acquire greater knowledge?
Well, just talking to other beekeepers, there's magazines that we have a subscription to. American Bee Journal and Bee Culture magazines, and also I go to seminars.
Okay,
I will be going to one in Indiana called the Indiana Bee School. They have a 2-part thing. They'll have a beginner's class in one area, and then the other area is have keynote speakers for the experienced beekeepers. And these are usually people from the universities, like Purdue or University of Mississippi and different things like that, that they have bee research going on at their different universities. So,
well, that's cool.
Continuing
education is obviously a big part of what you do, and without it, you would have never known about the Varroa leg.
Ankle biter,
ankle biter bees.
Yep.
Well, and do you manufacture any hives for people that want to buy them?
Yes, I do. Actually, I still have a good supply of scrap wood obtained from my other job. Mm-hmm. Over the 20 years or so I worked there.
Well, that's good.
So the ultimate recycler.
Yeah. Good old yellow pine.
You yep. betcha. I know where that came from.
Uh-huh.
But it's nice to see that yellow pine turn into beehives.
Right. So, right. Rather than just go in the dumpster or in my wood stove or whatever.
Right. Of course, in the wood stove is a good place too. But it helps to be able to make some money and to have people have a source where they can find beekeeping equipment. They know where it comes from. If they come to you for classes, then if they're serious about this, they can stay with you in business and purchase your products that you manufacture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the goal, isn't it, Tim?
That's exactly right. Like a one-stop shop.
No, wait a minute. It's like if you take the class, do you get your first introductory beehive for nothing or at a reduced rate?
Well, the price, the hives are pretty much a standard rate, but okay. I think I'm going to get a nuke discount. If you take my class, I'll knock a little bit of money off the nuke.
Oh, that's
a win-win for everybody, yeah. Then, isn't it? That's cool. Well, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your honey. What kind of honey do you have and sizes and where people can get it and all kinds of good stuff like that?
Okay, well, it's just all local honey. The only time I've had any varietal honey was when I had some hives over at a blackberry patch. He had about 10 acres of blackberries.
Oh, wow.
I could say that was blackberry blossom honey. You know,
did they taste like blackberries? Or is it just sweet honey?
It was just sweet.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Light colored and stuff. You know,
yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I think kind of a, and in the mind, if it tasted like blackberries or something like that. You know.
Two drops of blackberry flavoring in every bottle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that reminds me when the kids were little and we used to have them drink goat's milk. And we always said it made such a difference what the goats would eat because we could really taste it in the milk. Yeah. And so I know honey yep. has that same.
Well, if they ever got into some spearmint, you could tell it. And if they ever got into garlic, you'd know it too.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So if you're drinking milk on your cereal and it tastes like garlic, that loses a little something. But it's really nice if you're going to have it in a savory dish.
It's great if you put it in eggs.
That's yeah. right. And then I remember one of the times the milk tasted like peppermint. I said, this would make great peppermint ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a little disturbing just drinking it out of the glass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, bees do that too. Usually, like the first marketable honey crop in the spring would be the black locust trees,
mm-hmm.
and they usually, if we can get some honey out of them, usually a water white honey, real mild and you can almost see through it.
Oh, that's cool.
And then later on in the season, the white Dutch clover and the sweet clover is pretty light too and stuff, but they always surprise you. I extracted some honey later in late June, early July and stuff, and it was dark. So it could have come from the, more wildflowers.
Mm-hmm.
Like so, but, yeah, it's what the bees are feeding on at the time that determines the color and the taste and the aroma of the honey.
Now, sitting on our counter at home, our my brother-in-law, your brother, Jeff, runs the Sunshine House Health Food Store in Vandalia, and we have a small jar of 100% absolutely raw honey. Now, what is raw honey as opposed to the honey that we see that is, you know, a golden amber color and is fluid and all of that? This stuff is, it's, would you say it's not granular, but it's firm.
It is firm, yeah. So it's different than the honey, you know, that you would just pour out of the bottle or use from the jar. Right.
Yeah, so what makes a honey granular or firm or...
Well, all honey granulates. It's just back to nature.
Okay.
So it just does it at different rates. And if you don't warm it at all, then it'll granulate faster.
Okay.
And that's actually, I can talk about one of my other products that really has gone, has saved us at a lot of shows and stuff, is what we call creamed honey. We'll start with a starter of that. Raw honey, you know, mm-hmm. that's got a nice smooth texture to it. The granules are real fine and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
If I take that 1 pound of that and mix it with 10 pounds of liquid honey and make like a just like a, it looks like shampoo when it comes out.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Kind of a little background to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in my containers and put it in the refrigerator for about 2 weeks. It'll crystallize. That nice smooth texture. So then you can take that creamed honey and spread it on your toast or bagels.
Oh, you put it out on a knife.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that sounds good.
I do add a little bit of extract flavoring to some of it, like just strawberry flavor, peach, or chocolate flavor, too.
Ooh, but, yum.
Yeah.
And you came here and didn't bring any of that,
too. Oh, I know. I should have brought a sample.
Well, here's the news. Yeah. Jan likes bagels for breakfast.
Oh.
And I'm in there toasting her bagel, and I'll put on some honey, or I'll put on actually some butter and some Smucker's strawberry preserves.
But see, now if I could have Tim's honey with Tim's the honey, strawberry flavor, I'd be good to go.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a long time ago, we bought a large batch of honey from you.
Turned into mead.
The largest one.
The four-pounder. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It sat there, and I kept, we'd be low on honey, and I'd say, Don, I'm going to use Tim's honey. No, not yet. I'm saving that for me. So it has been used finally, and he managed to not use it all, and I used some out of the bottom for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And the mead is actually getting better and better and better.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And they say that young mead is undrinkable.
Oh. They would be correct.
They would be correct because it was really astringent. Mm. You know, I don't care what you do. You got to sample it. You got to taste it. And you go, that was nasty. And then you go, oh, well, that's not bad. You know, after the third year. It's been 3 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's dandy. Good. Yeah, so as a matter of fact, when we go home, I'm probably liable to have a glass.
Oh, cool.
And we should have brought you down, talking about you not bringing us stuff. We should have brought you a taste of that mead made with your honey.
Yeah, well, maybe we can trade. Trade cream honey for some mead.
You know? Sounds like a plan. We love bartering, so that works good.
That's good.
Yeah, we won't say we sold it because that would be bad.
That's we right. shared it.
We shared
it, yes. Yeah. So what other products do you have, and can people buy those? Well, in other words, I see you as a vendor sometimes out and about, and you've got honey sticks, and you've got a lot of different things. I know your wife makes baklava from time to time, but I think that's probably on a special order basis, isn't it?
Yeah. Usually around the holidays, around Christmas time, she'll make baklava.
When we've bought that from you, too. In fact, I remember one time coming out to the church where you guys had been, making it or delivering it or whatever. We came and picked it up.
Oh, yeah, we made it.
I knew she made it. I meant I didn't know if you made it there or if those were just...
She made it right there at the church because of the number of ovens that they had there.
Yeah, but, had a double oven there.
It was so good. We sat there in the car, I think, before we even left. And as I recall, it was raining or snowing or something. And we were just sitting in the car in the rain eating baklava.
Well, that's good stuff. Tim, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
I know we've got a couple of things that we need to do here.
Well, one thing I want to say, and I was asking some of the things you sold, can people find some of this on your website? And if so, you want to give that address?
Yeah, we've got a website, that bigteeshoneybeefarm.com, and then we're also on Facebook, and I've got a person working on getting a Facebook store up.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go on there and actually order things. So
that's cool.
Big T's Honey Bee Farm also.
So. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Tim, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
All righty.
Anytime.
And I'm going to close the program here with a little bit of information that we've got coming up. We've got some stuff coming up here in the next 3 months that's important for everybody to pay attention to, because it's fun. And I actually took one of these classes, and I'm here to say that I didn't mind it at all.
Well, I think you didn't. You did more than not mind it. I think you liked it.
I enjoyed it. I really did. We have a vision board workshop coming up in Highland, Illinois on Thursday, February 15th. And the workshop by itself will be from 6 to 8 p.m. And this workshop will also include a meal. So if you want to come to the meal, show up at 5 because it's going to take about an hour to eat the meal. And this is at Tibbetts House Bed and Breakfast and Books, 809 9th Street in Highland, Illinois, and the facilitators, Cassie Cordy.
And I just wanted to say that you can purchase the workshop alone for $15, or if you come in and participate in the meal, then it's $25.
I was just about to say that, but that's okay.
Beat you to the punch.
You did. And the meal will be lasagna, salad, rolls, a drink, and a dessert. So that's not a bad deal for $10. Then you're going to be presenting the Older Women's Legacy Memoir Writing Workshop Series here in Greenville, and that's going to be on 5 consecutive Sundays starting February 18th at the Bradford Community Building in Greenville. That's right over there across the street from the Bradford National Bank. And the cost for that is $50, and you are the facilitator, Dan.
I am.
Then the Owlsome Women's Lives Memoir Writing Workshop Series will begin after that starts, and you must have completed the Older Women's Legacy Workshop Series before participating in the second series in Greenville, and that's going to be on 4 Sunday afternoons, February 25th, March 4th, March 11th, March 18th, from 1:30 to 4, and that also is at the Bradford Community Building, and it's $50. And there will be a dream journaling workshop in Greenville, right here at Adam Brothers Coffee House, 110 South 2nd, March 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. That's the, you know, I did the journaling work, not the journaling workshop, but the vision board workshop, and that was actually really fun. Mm-hmm. And Cassie's a good presenter. Cassie's going to be doing this one again. Again, it's the Dream Journaling Workshop here in Greenville. And then, of course, we've got the Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair in Greenville, Saturday, April 14th at the American Farm Heritage Museum.
Yay!
Yeah, tickets are $7.50.
Tim will be joining us for that, too.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be a vendor there.
No live bees, but he'll have...
Well, it'll be April, right?
Yeah,
it'll
be April.
I could probably...
You put a bee in your pocket?
Probably put an observation hive, bring an observation hive with me.
Cool. Okay, very cool. Tickets are $7.50 in advance and $10 at the door. As always, children 12 and under are free. So that's what's coming up. That's a lot of stuff.
It is. And so if you can't remember all that by listening to us, of course, you can go back and listen to us anytime. But it's also available on our website at owlcreekgazette.com. Creekside with Don and Jan is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
And we're sponsored by KNR Wireless. You can find them in the Effingham area at knrwireless.net. So, Tim, thanks for coming in again. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And Jan, it's been a fun program.
It has been full of information. I can just see those little bees dancing around, flying around, keeping warm, flapping their wings, making heat.
Putting their little eyeglasses on so they can study.
Yeah.
Y'all take care now. Bye-bye.
Good night, folks.